It's time to get nerdy, y'all.
A little bit of gaming history for you.
Something relevant in gaming and discuss our opinions on it.
Should we kick it out of here or should we kickstart it?
This is the part where you, the listeners, try to stump the hosts.
I'm not a lawyer. I just play one on a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's Tuesday, and you know what that means. It's time to get nerdy, y'all. Also, may the fourth be with you. Welcome to episode number 187 of Two Nerds in a Pod, the nerdiest video game podcast in the galaxy. I am Lom, also known as Mr. Nice Guy, and I've got my comrade in gaming commentary here with me, the speedrunner of Chasm, the Mega Man 2 aficionado, the Miggity 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 Mac, also known as Mac Shin. Mac, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right, and thank you for such a warm introduction. That was great.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I could, of course, always say this later on, but I mean, I did do some speed running last week, and that was kind of a big fun thing for me. On Thursday, speed ran Chasm for an event on Retro Gaming Live. It was fun to be back on the channel proper. And also played Strider for the NES. Fun games, although it was a little rough. I had to go from a very precise platforming experience in Chasm to a very much less precise platforming experience in Strider. And that, you know, it's a bit jarring sometimes.
Yeah, someone just said Jar Jar Binks in the chat as it is Star Wars Day. So I think it's fitting that you said it's a jarring experience. Not sure if that was coordinated or not. But sometimes,
it was not. Just, you know, fate.
Sometimes on Star Wars Day, the stars just align, you know what I mean? We're going to have tons of wordplay going on today in the stream. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Mac, my week is good, man. Lots of good stuff happening with the upcoming move to the MKE. But I'll tell you about that later. Comedy's starting to pick up for some of my buddies, and I'm starting to get a little bit jealous, man. I feel like maybe I should just ditch the mask, go touch a dirty microphone, and tell some of these jokes that have been bouncing around in my head the past year that I haven't been able to work on. So, who knows? We'll see how I feel about that. But, Mac, we're not here to talk about comedy. We're not even here to talk about Star Wars. And we're definitely not here to talk about Jar Jar Binks. But what we are here to talk about is video games. And I say we do what we do best and hop right into the gaming news, my friend. What do you think about that?
I think we must. It's what we're here to talk about. Let's do it.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you for tuning in to episode 187 of Two Nerds in a Pod. Let's start with this gaming news. Now, Mac, I've taken a different approach lately with gaming news. We're cutting the fat. We're getting rid of the fluff. We're just talking about a couple major stories and going a little bit deeper into them. Here's the first one this week from GameSpot.com by Alex Newhouse. And I'm not going to go too much into this lawsuit in case you're going to do it for later. But it does get referenced, so here we go. The Epic v. Apple lawsuit is currently underway, and several very interesting pieces of information, blah, 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 blah. Right, we're not going to get into that part of it in case you're going to talk about it. But what I will say is there's a tweet that came out that says Walmart has been working on an unannounced game streaming service codenamed Project Storm. According to Verge sources, the launch has been put on hold due to the pandemic, and it is not clear whether this will turn into an actual commercial product. I think the reason it was referenced is because Epic v. Apple is kind of an example of how those online services can have conflict, right? But Mac, I guess, do you want a gaming service from Walmart? Or do you just want to be able to get deodorant, groceries, and firewood all in the same place?
Well, I will say, do I want a game service from Walmart? I think that if Walmart wants to give it a go, they should give it a go. The only thing that we can gain from having more options is the, you know, is more competition between the services, which we have woefully little of right now. I would like more. But it's not just a game service, it's a game streaming service. And I am very much against game streaming service for its basically putting a bridge over the last vestiges of software ownership, and not a big fan of that. So if they were operating a normal game storefront, normal things, then that would be one thing. But as I understand it, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a game streaming kind of like Stadia, right?
Yeah, so I believe so, except it'll just strictly probably be a subscription service, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, here's a special controller. I think that it's just going to be a Walmart service where you can stream games. Now, here's why I'm a little bit against it, because we've seen what happens when Amazon tries to make games. Back me up on this, chat. Amazon tried to make an MMO, or maybe it was a hero shooter, actually. I can't even remember. That's the point, and it failed. And yet they're still trying to do this. Just because you have a lot of money and you've been successful at a lot of stuff doesn't mean that you need to do everything. And we've seen this with some of our favorite celebrities, right? They're really, really good at a bunch of stuff, but then they'll try to make a game console, right? I'm talking about you, Soulja Boy. Not that he's one of my favorite celebs, but you get the point. I don't know if Walmart is in touch with the pulse of the gaming industry enough to be able to put out a streaming service that's not derivative of what has already been done. Amazon has tried to do this stuff. Now Walmart's trying to do it. I don't know if we need it. I don't know if I want it. That's where I'm at with it.
Okay. Now, I do want to highlight some of you who are here with us live have questions about it, questions that I don't know, and that I'm going to direct to Mr. Nice Guy so that we can at least talk about them if we don't know the answer and maybe feel better about it at the end.
Sure, sure.
They're asking, how? Why? Unlike something like Amazon, right, that actually has Amazon Web Services, AWS, that powers so much of the internet, that has all these, you know, various infrastructure things already in place, for someone like Walmart to get in on that, do we know anything about what they have going for it, what their back end even is like, if any?
Yeah, yeah. So here's what it says. And there was a tweet here that shows basically a bunch of diagrams that are leaked that kind of talk about the plans, you know, and it shows a little image of Fortnite. So obviously, right, Fortnite's free, so you got to have that on there. But here's what the article says. It says the slide also shows that Walmart planned to bring Project Storm to all sorts of different devices, like Stadia, like you said, including tablets, phones, and TVs. The diagram also includes what looks like a smartwatch, which is obviously unusual, considering playing games on a watch would be nearly impossible. In any case, the service seems, in theory, fairly similar to Amazon Luna or Google Stadia, as Max said, although Rain said it might undercut its competitors in price. So, something comparable to Stadia, which, once again, why create something that's derivative of something that was not successful? Stadia was not successful. Why try to clone that unless you think that you can improve upon it? And I don't think that Stadia was bad in theory. I just think it's not something that anyone needed, right? Like, we have Project X Cloud. We have the ability to stream from our PlayStation. It's just not something that anyone needs, in my opinion. So, do we have other questions in the chat about this or comments from people?
Mostly kind of in the same vein that it seems surprising because this isn't an easy thing to do. So why they would want to get in on it, why they would even go for it. And again, you know, it makes sense if you already have the infrastructure in place.
Yeah.
But if you don't have data farms or, you know, data whatevers, and if you don't have really any of that stuff that you'd need, how do you make that a worthwhile thing to do? That seems to be most of the commentaries aimed at that.
Yeah, Ishmobile says, for the vast majority of games and gamers, latency is just too high to a central data center, like playing Strider, but in Fortnite. Mm-hmm. So I think what he's saying is, like, the lag, right, between playing a game that's being streamed and actually getting the responsiveness on your TV is too high for it to be effective. And that's especially true if you're playing a game that's multiplayer, right? A game that's crossplay, where you're not just playing with people who are also playing on Walmart streaming service. You're playing with people who are playing on their regular PC, right? And it's not streamed. It's downloaded to the device. You're playing against people on Xbox, on PlayStation, because Fortnite, as we know, is crossplay. So that presents another big thing, Mac, for people who are wanting to do this competitive. No one's going to do it on Walmart service because of the latency. So those competitive games will already be kind of a moot point. So cool. Well, let's move on. we'll wrap with this on that, to put a pin in that last topic. Galvatron says, no matter the negatives, gaming is moving towards a totally online hosted model. I don't know if I agree with that. The industry does not like having gamers play games locally. They would much prefer gamers stream from a server which is cheaper and more secure. Ugh, I shouldn't have read that, because it opens up a whole nother conversation. It's an interesting point that I don't fully agree with. I agree with it partially. Game industry wants to have control of gamers to a certain extent, but I don't agree that it's going to be always through an online model. I think that they still like selling physical. Let's move on to the next topic. Phil Spencer. This is on IGN.com by Matt T. M. Kim. And this also references the Apple versus Epic court case, but we won't get too much into that. There was regular chatter that Xbox had ambitions to bring its services to systems that weren't, well, the Xbox, referring to Project xCloud. At its height, there were rumors that the entire Xbox experience could come to the Nintendo Switch. Instead, some Xbox Live functionality exists on the Switch, and xCloud is currently available on PC, Android, and iOS through a slight workaround. Mac, I think, and I want to get your perspective on this, I think that we are, like, this might be the last console wars. Last generation of console wars. Like, next gen, I still think that we will get three individual consoles from Nintendo, from Sony, and from Xbox. But I think that there is going to be so much cross-functionality between the three ecosystems as far as being able to play games on certain consoles that aren't exclusive anymore, that I think the only reason you pick one over the other is because you want to get your gamer score on Xbox, your trophies on Sony, or because you like the Nintendo controller. Do you think that that's a crazy idea? Or do you think that I'm right?
I don't know how right you are, Mr. Nice Guy. I think you might certainly have a point. When there is less of a barrier between the different consoles, there's less of a reason to, you know, to do that. And games have very much driven the differences between the consoles, you know, whether you're talking about exclusives or wanting to play with friends. So, I think you're probably right. I don't know if I'm willing to commit to this being the last of the, you know, the last of the console wars, though. Yeah. I think we'd have to be pretty enlightened to give up on our console wars and console favoritism.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. And I don't think it's that gamers will give up on it, but I think that, you know, I think that there's less and less division between the companies themselves, right? I mean, Cuphead was originally an Xbox exclusive. We got it on the Switch, right? We're reading here about Project xCloud, which allows you to play games on your devices that aren't an Xbox using an Xbox controller. And Phil Spencer, head of Xbox, was wanting that to come to the Nintendo Switch. And that's crazy to me. Like, I don't even know if we made a big enough deal about that when I just read that sentence. That's a really big deal. Like, the fact that Xbox is willing to put their stuff on, not on Sony, but on the underpowered, I'm doing air quotes, Nintendo Switch, to me just shows that they just want people to be able to play games however they want. And I can't help but think that the reason they're doing it on the Switch is obviously because the Switch is portable, right? So they want people to be able to have Xbox top of mind all the time, to be able to play your Game Pass games at your PC at home, you know, using your super duper graphics card, right? They want you to be able to play it on your Xbox, but they also want you to be able to play it on the go on Nintendo Switch. And I think it's a great marketing strategy. I don't think that we see console wars too much longer. Mm.
You could very well be right about that, Mr. Nice Guy. I mean, I suppose one could ask if there's any reason to be sad about that.
No, I mean, so it kind of goes back to the concept of, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, like digital versus physical. Like, we are moving towards digital, right? The more and more, like, even you're nodding, as much as we dislike it, it's just what it is. And I think that part of the reason you and I like physical is, one, because it preserves games, but two, and most importantly, because it's how we grew up experiencing games. It's the reason that arcades still exist. you know, that you can go to an arcade and put in a quarter and you can play a game with a joystick and buttons. It's a nostalgia thing. And I think that console wars are kind of a nostalgia thing at this point. Like, there was a time where, you know, Xbox versus Sony was really like a strict battle. And like, people were like going neck and neck on the message boards. And I think that gamers are holding on to it more than the companies are. So if it still exists, it'll be because it's something that's made by the gamers rather than the companies. So anyway, Well, let's do one more news story and then let's move on. Speaking of exclusives, Mac, I bought a PlayStation 5 fairly close to launch. And I'll tell you, the game that I have played the most since I bought it, first I played through Spider-Man Miles Morales. Phenomenal experience. Playing some Assassin's Creed Valhalla. But the game I've played the most, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Not an exclusive game to PlayStation 5. Not even an exclusive game to this gen. So I have been chomping at the bit, waiting for a new game. Is Max still with us, or is he frozen for you guys?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
So here's what happened. I just realized what was going on. The internet is down in my area.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was really finicky for a while, and then I just went out to talked to my wife, and I said, is the internet down, or what's going on? And she said, yeah, it's completely down. So that's what's happened.
Gotcha. Okay, so we are without internet for Mr. Nice Guy. Hello, nerds. This is your editor, Mac, coming to you after the fact. I'll give you the best of what we have, try to cut some of this so that it's at least understandable, and you've got something that's still pleasant to listen to. Thanks for your attention, and sorry for the slightly different episode. So, let's move on to gaming history. Let's talk a little bit about what happened last week, or this week, in years past. Gonna be very, very brief this time around. In 2014, we saw the release of a little game called Child of Light for the PC. If there's anything to note about this game, it's incredible soundtrack. I don't know if you've heard it before, but I actually I have the soundtrack basically on just sort of on my playlist for when I'm making Perlers. It's a terrific, terrific soundtrack and a good game as well. Highly recommend. But the main event, the most important game to come out, in the early portion of May, in all of history, is without a doubt the 1995 DOS release of a little game called Full Throttle. So, you may be familiar with point-and-click adventure games, but LucasArts really perfected the point-and-click adventure game, and I feel like the truest full embrace of both, beauty as well as, as well as a game that, like, had all the fat cut out of it. It was terrific. Was definitely Full Throttle. So my favorite part of the game was that in point-and-click adventures, you use verbs, right? So, like, you will talk to, and then, you know, so you'd go to your down to the bar on the bottom, you'd click talk to, and then you'd click on what you wanted to talk to. Or you'd click pick up, and then you'd click what you wanted to pick up, those types of things. But in Full Throttle, what you would do instead is you would click and hold on an object, and then it would pop up this little HUD for you to select which verb you were going to. And I know that that's a bit more popular in, I think that was something that they used in, like, The Walking Dead, the Telltale game was once, right? But what was so amazing about it was that the interface that popped up was actually the biker patch, because in Full Throttle, you're the leader of a biker gang, and so they incorporated the verbs artistically into the symbol of the biker gang itself. So you'd click on it and you would mouse up to like the eyeballs if you wanted to look at something because it had a flaming skull. Or you'd mouse to the mouth portion of the skull if you wanted to talk to it. There's a fist and a, you know, what's it called? Like a foot as well. And it's just, you know, all, it is a work of art in the interface alone, to say nothing about the rest of it. But yeah, Full Throttle, amazing, fantastic. If you haven't played it, you owe it to yourself to play it. And there's even been a remaster, so it's very approachable and easy to get your hands on. You must. It's amazing. Well, for technical reasons, we are going to be skipping the nerd flex, but that doesn't mean that you can't flex your nerdy muscles. I'm going to play a sound somewhere, somewhen, somehow in video games, and it's your task to identify it. Be sure to tweet at @2nerdsinapod with the hashtag soundtest and identify this episode, number 187, as the place you heard it, and if you happen to be the first one to guess the origin of this sound correctly, you will be the proud winner of a prize. Perhaps a Perler lovingly crafted by me, or even a 2 Nerds in a Pod pin. Good luck, you'll need it.
Something approaching joy is now growing in my behavior core, Master.
We'll skip on down to legalese, and again, this will be a little bit brief. Mr. Nice Guy was 100% correct when he was talking earlier about how I was going to talk a little bit about Epic v. Apple. So, yesterday, or was it the day before? But no, it would have been yesterday. We started with Epic v. Apple, the actual hearings, right? It's very complicated, much discussed, and covered in more detail in episodes 136, 153, 156, and 178. But like I said, today was the first day of it in court. We found out that Epic made $9 billion in Fortnite in 2018 and 2019, which of course was very interesting. But as we know, the big issue to address in this is related to monopoly power and the like. Now, both sides have been presenting their arguments. I know that some people have described it in their news coverage of it as Apple describing facts, and Sweeney just talked about his dreams of a metaverse, which I think is a little bit, you know, I think that's a little bit unfair to Sweeney and et al., but it certainly felt that way at times. Although, we are still in the early process, but there have been some accidental disclosures about money that were intended to be kept under wraps, but that some people released the unredacted information by accident. That's part of the things that we found out that we were talking about in news that Mr. Nice Guy, you brought up. Some of that information was supposed to be filed redacted and under seal, but was unfortunately published publicly as opposed to privately, which is, kind of funny. At the end of it, though, let's not forget that what they are going to court to ask for is that Epic is asking for the court to force Apple to allow their workarounds and cut Apple out of the money that they contractually agreed to pay Apple and had been paying to them for years. And Apple has asked for the previous arrangement, which they claim to have been the industry standard, to stand. So at the end of the day, remember, we're going to have to wait a long time before we get any substantive and final say. This is stuff that could go to appellate courts, it could go to Supreme Court, it could go on for many, many years. But it is noteworthy that by the nature of what's going on here, one side is saying, hey, just keep the contract in force. It's a fair contract. And the other side, specifically Epic, has a very big uphill road. They might have plenty of people who are willing to jump on the, you know, the court call and yell free Fortnite, and that's how they opened the thing. A bunch of people hopped on and said free Fortnite for a whole bunch of time during when the trial was about to start. Not a good look for Epic, if I'm honest, because, you know, it's not a great idea to turn the courtroom into a bit of a show and fireworks display. But nonetheless, that happened. And yeah, they've got a big uphill road in this. So who knows which way it will go? I certainly don't, because I'm not a lawyer. But, you know, hey, that's some legalese for you. So that's what I had for you guys today. That's what we had for you today. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Unfortunately, Chicago is now without internet. But we appreciate you sticking with us. We appreciate you being here. Y'all are the best. You're the best viewers on Twitch. You're the best listeners. And while this is a short episode of Two Nerds in a Pod, hopefully it's been at least somewhat informative, and we will be coming at you next week, same time, 8 p.m. Mountain, 9 p.m. Central, and same place, twitch.tv/Two Nerds in a Pod. In the meantime, keep it nerdy, and we'll see you later. Bye.